Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Eat, Sleep, Suplex Retweet.
Hello everyone and welcome to this, the Season 19 kickoff show of Saturday Draft Live here on Eat, Sleep, Suplex Retweet. I'm Stephen Wilson and we have a packed show in store for you today. We have 14 players in this edition of the ESSR draft. We have listeners, league competitors making their debut. We have much loved stars of past drafts returning to this season. There's plenty in it, and we are here to break it down. Joining me is two of my usual Saturday Draft Live co-hosts. One of them from AIR was unable to join us, the useless one. Judge that from what you will, based on who's here. The other AIR member of the team, Jack Graham, is here. Jack, how are you?
Yes, doing very well. Well, it was a successful live stream earlier on in the week. It was good to see everyone's teams getting picked and seeing what happens. But now, the live stream is like everyone's favourite time. But is this episode our favourite time when we get a critique and get it either so right or so horribly wrong with predictions? We find out.
We prefer this one because nobody critiques us while we're doing it, which is always handy. We get critiqued after it, where we don't really bother as much because we know we never get these predictions right. Speaking of not getting predictions right, David Hockney's here. David, how are you?
For God's sake. You know what? I actually prefer this to the live show as well, given that, you know, we don't have to wait on people making their picks. You know, we can just rattle through and just, as you said, you know, critique without any critique directed towards us.
Yeah, I think this season's selection show was the worst we've had probably for gaps in selections, you know, but we'll see how much those minutes of pondering from our draftees is going to pay off. Let's go through the teams and let's, of course, we've got to talk about our defending champion. First of all, David Campbell, the GOAT, you know, he'll be happy he's been talked about first because it means he doesn't need to listen to another hour of this particular show. Sami Zayn, Bailey, Adam Pearce, Nick Aldis, Starks and Big Bill, and Jade Cargill. Dave, I'll go to you first one. And a return of an old GOAT favourite in Bailey. Mm-hmm. Not really done much in the last few seasons. She's not really scored over 100 since season 14. She, of course, had that mega season for me back in season 5. What's your thoughts on Bailey here?
I think Bailey's probably the smartest pick GOAT could have had, especially, you know, if she's rumoured to be a favourite to win the Women's Royal Rumble. And it's a Royal Rumble season, after all. You have to make early predictions as to who's going to win. And GOAT, albeit with the snake draft process, he's immediately went with his men's and women's favourites here. And, you know, Bailey's been an old reliable for his team in the past before, you know, scoring consistently. And I think he's got a good shot of having the Royal Rumble winner amongst his team.
Yeah, he definitely does. He's been quite open in putting money, Jack, on having Bailey and Sami Zayn. He's actually physically put money on this one. I don't really know what's happened with my draft analysis sheet here, but we don't really have too much information on Sami Zayn. He's not really been a pick in the last couple of seasons. He's been in the tag team with Kevin Owens. How fruitful do you think he is as a Rumble contender?
Yeah, well, I think like at the start of the year, I think he was like one of the favourites to win the Rumble kind of alongside Cody Rhodes. But I do think the return of CM Punk kind of blows that out of the water. But I do think Sami Zayn will get a good showing. And as we know, in this season, even having an Iron Man performance could change the tides on one of the seasons. You don't necessarily need to have the winner, although very beneficial. Sami Zayn can still do the business some way. As much as I really don't think that he's going to win, I do think Sami Zayn is going to have a great performance this season. So I think it's a worthy pick at the kind of at the tail end of round one.
Yes, of course, this season with the Royal Rumble in there, it's not all just about winning the Royal Rumble. There's lots of points on offer for most eliminations, been in the match the longest, you know, so there is plenty, you know, to play for in that particular match. So it's not just about winning with that one, which is the advantage. And Goat has been the one ever team who's very vocal of aiming for the Royal Rumble, but he's not done that with Adam Pearce and Nick Aldis. I respect this pick. I don't know about you guys.
I think it was summed up perfectly on the live stream. You know, scumbag Goat taking, you know, the two general managers, as he's, you know, he is very much affirmated with picking Adam Pearce as a draft pick in the past. Third and fourth round for those two, though. I'm not so sure, but I mean, Nick Aldis obviously making his draft debut here. It's I think he's just banking on those appearance points for sure.
Yeah, when you're picking from the bottom, there's no harm in it. You got to say with that one, and it continues a great stat that Adam Pearce has only ever been picked by three players in draft history, and that continues with Goat picking him for the fourth time in this one. The other one I'll go to Jack quickly on Goat. Jade Cargill in round six. She's not really been on TV as much in the last couple of weeks. Triple H has mentioned that she's doing a lot of training. Do you feel like this is another outside Rumble pick, or do you think he's hoping that she gets on telly quicker than later?
I think probably outside Rumble pick. I don't see her being on. I think obviously the post-media scrum as they kind of call it, was very telling of Triple H's opinion of how AEW treated Jade Cargill and not being ready in the actual terms of wrestling. But what harm is there in putting her in that Rumble match and getting her 5-6 eliminations just to immediately amplify that star power again, of which he could get zero for Jade Cargill all the way through at that point, and then could be the have the highest scoring last round pick out of everyone. So why not take Jade Cargill at the very end? And when there is that possibility that could happen, when she is the next big thing for WWE.
Exactly. Say round five, round six. I keep saying round five. Why do I keep saying round five?
I suppose when it comes to a multi-person match as well, you know, she can at least be protected, you know, hide any weaknesses she might have, but at least she gets a big spot debut.
Yeah, there's definitely no harm in it. And I think as the final pick of the draft goes, I think it's pretty solid enough. I don't think it's one he's going to get that defending title unless these two at the top win the Rumble. If they win the Rumble, he's well in with a shout, but that's a big if currently.
I definitely think he has one. I've had it in my head in one of them, maybe Bailey. I don't know about Sami.
No, yeah, I don't think Sammy's very likely, but I can see him having an Ironman performance. Bailey seems more likely to win.
Yeah, I got the Sami in. I got what Jack said about Sami being right up there until Punk came back. Now that Punk's back, things are completely different with that one. We will move on now. Let's go to Gad Cairnhan's team, actually, on this particular one. Gary has went with Seth Rollins, Becky Lynch, Santos Escobar, Pretty Deadly, Maxxine Dupree, and Christian Cage. Jack, I'll throw back to you on this one. I look at this team and think this is one of the favourites going into the season. Not the first time, however, we talked to, said that with Gary, but it definitely looks good on paper.
It seems to be a common thing with Gary that he's got a team that looks great on paper, and whether it works out well for him or not, I'm not sure. But obviously, when you take up Rollins, this is straight off the bat, he's going to have a title defence on Monday. So that kick off to a great start. Santos Escobar seems to be in a prime position for a really good story coming up of the kind of LWO breaking up. And then even like the likes of like Maxxine Dupree, steady pick last season, myself getting 35 points. It's on paper, it's a very good team.
Yeah, Dave, he's got two in there who scored over 100 points last season in Seth and Becky Lynch. Christian Cage, I think, as a six-round pick is another fantastic one, given Christian is a pretty much a constant fixture on AEW TV right now. One that I'm quite interested about, one who's been on the cusp for about a year or so now in this draft, potentially doing something pretty deadly. I think that one's in there. But yeah, I think for second female picks, I think Maxine Dupri was the must-get, given the Alpha Academy on two shows right now.
Like you said, you know, Alpha Academy across multiple shows, making multiple appearances. Maxine Dupri racking up 35 points last season alone with just appearances, maybe a handful of matches in between. But the season prior, 40 points for her. And in just two seasons, like, that's pretty damn impressive. You know, comes equates to an average of about, you know, 37.5 points between two seasons as a fifth round pick. So, yeah, I think Maxine Dupri could be a potential steal for this draft, just in terms of appearance points alone, kind of like what Zelina Vega was in season 5.
I spoke to Gary a couple of days ago, and he said he was the one he was on the fence about was picking Becky early, because the thing with Becky Lynch, you don't fully know what she's going to do. But at the same time, with the Rumble in mind, if she's in the Rumble, she's going to have a good showing.
100%. Yeah, for sure. In this season, you've got to go for names, regardless of if in a program or not. You see Becky Lynch in a Royal Rumble scene, you're thinking, I've got to get her. Just the name itself instantly makes her one of their favourites. And you know she's not going to get toughed out in 2 minutes. She's going to get a good few eliminations. There's going to be a story built up in that match for her, regardless of what happens. So why not take her round two?
Yeah, definitely. I think she's going to be primed for a Mania title match. She doesn't need the Rumble to win it, which is the thing. But as you say, you can, that added star power in the Rumble, and she's going to be, they don't really have on the women's side a lot of mega star power. She's one of the very few on that one. So I think she's a very solid pick on that one. Christian Cage is one that we're not 100% sure if he's going to be successfully defending his TNT title over this season. But again, round six, you got to go with somebody who's going to do that one. I think Gary's got a very, very, very good shout at this one.
Yeah, for sure.
Someone else who I think is going to have a good shout is a favourite of several people in the draft returning this season is Stacey Smith. She drafted from number one, so she had the pick of the litter in terms of wrestlers in this one, and she went very smart with the round one pick, getting Rhea Ripley in there. No surprise given how Rhea's done in the last couple of seasons. Other than that, Charlotte Flair, Solo Sikoa, Jimmy Uso, Trick Williams, and the U Day. Dave, we've seen in this draft before, a lot of people, especially ones who haven't drafted before or haven't drafted in a while, not going smart from the round one pick, not really doing a good job with it. But Stacey has went with established names on this team and a couple, a kind of a left-wing kind of one in Trick Williams. But as I've said so many times in the past 10 minutes already, Rumble season, established names, and as Jack mentioned as well, are ones that you want. And two Bloodline members still prominently used on TV, and a juggernaut in Charlotte Flair. I mean, can't really go wrong.
Definitely. You know, Charlotte Flair, an established name in the Rumble. You know, more often than not, she finishes in the top four. She's won one previously back in season 3. Definitely a big points getter for Royal Rumble season. And with Rhea Ripley maybe scheduled to defend the women's world title a couple more times, having the captaincy on her, I think Stacey's in a very, very good position. And with Solo and Jimmy practically joined at the hip, you know, not necessarily an operational tag team, but two singles picks as part of a faction, appearance points alone is just going to rack up for her, especially when the Bloodline's still a constant factor. The outside bet with Trick Williams as well, pretty interesting given that he scored 51 points last season and he looks to be cooking up a feud with Carmelo Hayes. So, yeah, I think it's hard to find any fault in Stacey's team. She's done really, really well with making her selections.
Yeah, Jack, we slated Ryan, rightfully so, at the time. I'll say at the time because he will outline that he did get that 51 points, picking Trick Williams so high up when he did. But I think in round 5 for Stacey, it's a much more sensible time to be picking someone like Trick Williams.
100%. Like, obviously, last season we wouldn't have known that Trick Williams was going to get an upset North American Championship winning at the pay-per-view, which ultimately helped Ryan get out of the relegation battle. But this season, he's primed in one of the biggest stories on NXT of who attacked Trick Williams. And it's going to culminate at the whatever pay-per-views is coming up, and it's going to be all over TV. So round five, he's clearly got a bright future ahead of him. You'd even be surprised if he has a Rumble appearance too, given the kind of the faith they've had in him recently. So yeah, I think at this point, a great pick for Stacey.
Yeah, of course, we've got to mention that the NXT deadline is next Saturday. So that's the pretty much a pay-per-view right off the bat, you know. And we've only got 9 NXT picks in there, and obviously Trick Williams is one of them. So it's interesting he's going to be involved in that match at deadline, which I can't remember the type of match it is now off the top of my head.
The Iron Survivor Challenge.
The Iron Survivor Challenge. He is part of that particular match, so that's going to be an interesting one for that one. Rhea Ripley, I mean, what can we say we've not said about Rhea Ripley?
It's mammy.
In terms of a pick, exactly. Of course, we have our Rhea Ripley feature show coming out on Friday, so please make sure to subscribe to us and listen to that one. But she's had over 200 points in the last two seasons. I don't think she's going to get that this season with it being a shorter season. We've also got no guaranteed title defences really in the coming things. So do you think maybe, Dave, that Rhea Ripley's been picked on historical more than this season? Do you think this is a season for Rhea Ripley as a round one pick? Or do you think it's just because of the point she had to go for it and get there?
No, I agree. I think, you know, she's always going to be a really good round one pick, you know, as women's world champion. She's got to have at least one defence in the next 2 months or so. And purely with the association with Judgment Day being the number one, you know, heel group on Raw, she's going to rack up appearance points regardless. So, and let's not forget, she still hasn't been pinned since like May 2022. So she's on an undefeated streak. She's the champion. She's associated, you know, with one of the biggest factions currently. So she's going to rack up appearance points, wins, and arguably a title defense. That's got round one pick written all over it.
Yeah, I don't doubt that she was going to be in round one. I'm just not thinking in terms of the first pick, when you've got the pick of the litter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the best season to go for her with the Rumble? But we will wait and see for Stacey. But it is definitely a solid team for round one. We'll fly across to the States now. We've got another returning draftee. Chris Anthony Lopez is back in the draft. We last saw Chris Anthony Lopez 2 seasons ago, where he threw it away, to use a British term. He spursed it or hibsed it, depends on what part of the UK you're from. He's went with Gunther, Swerve Strickland, Tiffany Stratton, Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, tag team John Moxley and Mariah May. Jack, I can't remember if it was you or someone else on After Draft Night who looked at Chris Anthony Lopez's team and was not impressed. Please tell me it was you and not Ryan.
I think probably both, to be fair. I think whenever Chris has performed, he's always performed so well. I said he kind of threw it away at the kind of last moment, the last season he played. And I think he's thrown it away already. Like, I don't even know what to... It's hard to say, because it's like there's just nothing here that screams out that it's going to be a team that does anything this season. Like, Gunther obviously understand how to take round one. Still going to be a favorite for the Rumble, so that's a great performance. But outside of that, aside from maybe John Moxley, does Chris Lopez have anything in his team that's worthy of this season?
I would say Swerve Strickland was probably smart, given how much, you know, investment they put in him in against Adam Page. And he's also in the Continental Classic, so he's guaranteed to have at least a few matches across the season. He is one of the favourites to win the Blue League and possibly go up against Eddie Kingston in the Gold League. So I wouldn't bet against Swerve Strickland just yet. As a second round pick, maybe a little bit high. I'd have him as a third round pick. But regardless, I think Swerve Strickland might just surprise you.
I got to go on the kind of the round that Swerve was picked more than picking Swerve itself, because obviously he's came off of that win over Hangman Page at Full Gear. He's primed to hopefully get a good push in AEW. But if you kind of look at round two, there was probably picks in there that he could have got and still got Swerve. That's my one thing of it. I mean, but outside of that, I got to kind of agree with what Jack was saying. There's not too much in, Tiffany Stratton is obviously, she's in the Iron Survivor match next week as well. probably had the chance of winning that, but has she done enough in the last couple of seasons to merit being picked round three? I'd say no. Fury and Waller is a risky pick. It's one I kind of respect in a way, but at the same time, are they going to win matches? That's the big question with that one. Moxley, again, I think he's maybe looked at that Continental Classic. And Mariah May is a appearance getter alongside Toni Storm. I mean, the thing about we've got to look at Jack as well, when you talk about Gunther, I mean, he's not, last season for me, didn't get pay-per-view defences, which really hurt me. And we don't have any WWE pay-per-views before the Rumble. So you're really just banking on him being an Iron Man, really, in that Rumble, as the Punk returns probably ruled out a Gunther title win this season.
Yeah. It's just a shame. Upon his return, did I expect much more? Yeah, but it's just not worked out that way. It's unfortunate. Yeah. I just don't think there's much else to say. It's just a bit underwhelming, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's one of the more meh teams, I think, on the
kind of draft. Like mid to lower tier team, I think.
Yeah, it screams it could be a struggle for Chris. You know, so close to winning the draft in season 17, he looks like he's not probably going to win the draft this season. But who knows? Who knows? We'll see how that goes over the course of the season. Should we go to the dice now, lads, and see how the dice did this season?
Let's roll the dice.
Grant McRobbie has, after a successful season where he finished fifth in the draft, made Jack Graham the enemy of the team by taking him out of the top four at the last, pretty much the last couple of weeks. He's went back to the dice because of how successful it was, and I think he'd be pretty happy with the team that he got. Kevin Owens, LA Knight, Jay White, that rhymed and I didn't know it, Street Profits, Willow Nightingale, and Ruby Soho. The destination is unknown for Grant because of the dice, Dave. Do you think he should be quite happy with what he got, given the randomness of Grant's selections?
All in all, yeah, I would say so. I mean, Kevin Owens has been advertised to compete in a tournament for the US title on SmackDown, so you can guarantee he's going to have at least a few matches here and there. I think LA Knight's stock has started to cool a little bit now that Punk's back in town and he's become the new favourite of the company. So Willow Nightingale and Ruby Soho as AEW picks, probably best he could have got. We know when it's come to his fifth and sixth round pick and he had to pick two female superstars. Street Profits, I think, are very much going to be on and off given their booking with Bobby Lashley as of late. But Jay White in the Continental Classic as well, I think that's a safe bet to rack up at least a few points, especially for a round three pick. I'm not entirely convinced if Kevin Owens is a first round pick at this point, but you know, that's what happens when you roll the dice. I suppose on paper, it actually looks okay, but it screams mid-tier team here.
Yeah, Jack, I think the one pick you'll be really happy about was Jay White, especially round three. But I think some of the other ones, I think he would have been looking at it going, yeah, it's not the worst I would have got, but I think I could have got so much better.
Aye, it does just scream a mid-table team, unfortunately. Also, Jay White's in this Continental Classic thing as well, I think.
Yeah,
so that could put up good points. Kevin Owens will most likely win this US title tournament, but we'll lose, but you'll get good points before that. I know Dave was saying his stock with LA Knight is maybe cooled a bit. I think maybe given the pop that he got even yesterday, I don't think that's the case. I still think it's going to be a great pick. I get why maybe round two now, but I still think it's going to be a huge pick for him regardless. But the kind of the bottom half of Street Profits, the mix booking doesn't help. Honestly, Willow Nightingale did a bit better than what you thought last season, Stephen, but I don't know about this season. Ruby Soho could be all right with this romance angle that's going on, but it's just got Rampage written all over it, so that's never really going to be a good point. So it's just a good old mid-table this season with Grant, I think. Which, obviously, it's still with the dice. I think getting mid-table the dice is still absolutely great.
Yeah, I think Grant's been on record and said as long as he doesn't have an absolute mayor, the dice probably would continue. But Kevin Owens, as I mentioned on draft night, was actually the one who came, was the second on his list for the dice. So he was probably always going to get Kevin Owens, because, to be brutally honest, nobody was picking Kevin Owens round one. No offense to Kevin Owens, but he's not currently round one pick. But yeah, I get what you were saying. I get that bottom half of the table. Will Nightingale is a, I would class Will Nightingale as a solid enough second pick, but maybe not in a short season, given how Tony Khan books that product right now. She seems to be. What annoyed me about Willow Nightingale last season, briefly, is essentially she would have a contenders match, lose the contenders match, and then Tony would go, let's put her in a title match for the other title. I'm like, stop giving her things to lose. Come on. It's so bloody annoying. And then I don't really want to talk about this stupid fucking Ruby Soho romance angle. It's not the show for that when we're talking about drafts, but yeah. If Grant can get mid-table with this team, I think he should be pretty happy, and then we may see the dice continuing. I'll talk about these two in a one-hour, guys, because obviously the Listeners League, we've got two competitors coming up from this one. Our Listeners League winner from last season, Johnny Adam, he went with the team of Dominic Mysterio, Zelina Vega, Alpha Academy, the man formerly known as Edge, Adam Copeland, Shayna Baszler, and Shinsuke Nakamura. Lee McAteer has went with CM Punk, Tony Storm, FTR, Sky Blue, Dragon Lee, and Don Callis. And we'll actually add Lee McAteer came up due to the Listeners League Cup. He was the runner-up, but Adam Callie, who won the Listeners League Cup, unfortunately couldn't draft on Monday in risk of divorce. So Lee took the place there. I will throw back to Dave on this one because he is going to rant. I'm going to give him a point to rant on it. Zelina Vega as a round two pick.
Yeah, I made it clear. I don't think Zelina Vega should be anywhere near round two for a selection at this point.
Round three and four, let alone round two.
I know. Typical Listeners League fashion. He fluffs it up, round two, round three. But, hard lesson learned, I suppose. You might get a few appearance points in this Santos Escobar angle and stuff, but definitely a major faux pas when it comes to Zelina Vega in round two. I mean, she'll get appearance points for sure, but there's no way she's justified as a round two pick. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Jackie, it was that way of a first draft ever, kind of caught out a wee bit. There was decent female picks left on the board still as well. There was plenty to going at that point in time. Julia Hart went a couple of rounds later. We'll talk about her later on. I would say his team's kind of bookended by that 1-6 currently right now. I think Shinsuke being a feud with Nakamura as a final pick is decent. But outside of that, Alpha Academy's going to win two shows. We have mentioned that as well. But it's not a team that's going to get him another season in this league.
Absolutely. It's like a team of two halves again, because Dominic Mysterio, Alpha Academy, Adam Copeland, I think they're great picks. We'll see how much Adam Copeland does rest on if he wins the title next week. That might help. Zelina Vega round two is baffling. Obviously, I know she's been a consistent pick for myself and teams before, but it was always in that kind of last round spot. So interesting to see how she performs in round two, but we'll see that. Shayna Baszler is it seems like she's a bit cursed in the draft as of late. But as a single pick, doesn't really kind of, fortune doesn't favour the brave for that one. And Nakamura is going to get fed to Cody, so it's just unfortunate.
I mean, I think round six is a good place for Nakamura, because he's in that feud with Cody. Obviously, we didn't know when we drafted he was going to be in that feud with Cody, because obviously we drafted on Monday before Raw was on. So we didn't know. We knew he was calling someone out, but we didn't know it was going to be Cody. So I think in round six, he's fine. Edge, I'm still going to call him Edge, could be favoured by if he goes into, if he wins the title from Christian Cage. But again, it's all risks, and I don't think there's enough in there. Lee McAteer, on the other hand, as much as Lee struggled with his drafting, I do think Davey's got more in him to kind of put on a challenge, especially spearheaded by CM Punk. And of course, he's got timeless Tony Storm in there. I think they two could help him have a respectable season.
Yeah, I think Lee's probably the dark horse of a season, largely because, well, he's mostly AEW heavy, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. He's got some really good picks with Tony Storm, FTR, and Sky Blue. But early predictions here, I think he's holding the men's Royal Rumble winner here, and that could be huge for Lee's season, particularly if CM Punk's going to be all over the WWE product going forward. I think he could potentially be in with a juggernaut season as well, but I think that's also dependent on how many matches CM Punk has, because I think he's banking on more appearance points rather than matches for CM Punk, but we'll go big at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I think the difference with Punk in WWE return is I don't think he'll wrestle nearly as much as he did when he came back into AEW a couple of years ago. Jack, they talked about GOAT's team of the guys like Adam Pearce and Nick Aldis, guys that are just going to appear all the time. He's not somebody we've ever picked in the draft before, really, but Don Callis, round six. I think that's an interesting round six pick. I think that's one that could do well in that round.
Aye, it's because he's got his own kind of family and appears like kind of every week, doesn't he? So it's an interesting one. Well, he never picked before, so we'll see how it goes. But I think of that kind of ilk we've seen with the GMs and Paul Heyman before, maybe Don Callis is worth a shot. But would I have picked Don Callis over a Paul Heyman for the kind of points? No.
I know why you would go with that. You're the head of the Paul Heyman fan club when it comes to this particular draft at times. But I mean, outside of that one, Dragon Lee's in that US title tournament, seems to be involved in that feud with Santos Escobar amongst the LWO. So that's one that might be okay. Sky Blue, I'd say, falls into that kind of Will and Nightingale role. I would not have picked a round four, personally. I would have left that quite late on. But that's just me. I think Lee might do quite respectable in this particular season, which is a good that Ryan sacrifices on draft night of waiting on various social media channels for Lee to send his drafts could at least come to something. Talking about draft night, this man didn't compete on draft night as he was in New York, so we gave him the chance to pick from whoever was left. So Ross McLeod had a big chance to kind of do something here, and my God, we'll talk about it now. He went with Sting, Piper Niven, Logan Paul, Roman Reigns, Lola Vice, and Imperium. Jack, we talked off air after the draft that Ross had a great chance to do something in this draft. There was so many good picks left over, and I think he's fumbled the ball on the line here.
There is, like, obviously, we spoke about some of the picks that he should make, and Logan Paul and Roman Reigns are two picks they absolutely should have made, because they are not losing their titles until Mania. They can have as little or as many defenses as possible. They are not losing their titles until that point. And I think Roman's definitely going to defend his title at some point, and Logan potentially once or twice with how often he wants to appear. So I think that's absolutely fine. Piper Niven, obviously, I picked the other half, so I need to back this pick in the same way. But then it's the other half of the team where the fumble might have happened.
Aye, Dave. I mean, Ross's reasoning for Sting was he'll never get the chance to pick Sting again, even though Sting's retirement season is technically season 20. So he probably could have picked him then.
Yeah.
He probably could have picked him anywhere, because let's be brutally honest, no one thought of picking Sting. But to go with Sting as his top choice is baffling as well. Lola Vice, I know she won that NXT breakout tournament, but quite often with that breakout tournament, they don't often do much until a few months after it, really, usually. Don't really hit it then, and I know I don't see Lyla Valkyria losing too much in that one. So, yeah, I think there was so much potential still on the boat. There were so many people there, and I'm not enthralled by it.
Aye. He was a little premature with Sting, that's for sure. But
he's premature with a lot of things.
So I took the joke right out of my mouth. Yeah, this team is garbage. I'm just going to say it. Like, picking up the scraps for a reason, you know, not being there on draft night, it's his own fault. The only reason I think he's going to get points here is Roman Reigns, especially if it's Rumble season and he's defending the title at the Rumble itself. But I honestly, I've got nothing on this team. It's trash.
Yeah, I think the only ones that kind of... I mean, the Roman Reigns, is he booked for the Rumble? I'm not foolish. He's going to be on SmackDown. He's got a couple of SmackDowns in the lead up this month. So I think he probably will be in the Rumble as a result of that. So that might be some sort of saving grace for Ross. Logan Paul, will he be on TV during this US title tournament? It's a big question. Will defense be during this season? There's a lot of question marks there. Piper Niven, it seems to be the... I mean, that tag team don't win matches outside of their tag title match defenses. Even then, they're not doing too many tag title defenses. Granted, they had one this week. So, and Imperium, I mean, they seem to be leading on day two breaking up. And I don't think they're going to win this DIY feud. So, yeah, I don't think... Ross didn't have a great season last season, and I'm sorry, I don't think he's going to have a good season now. His brother is more respectable in the draft in recent seasons, and we will talk about Scott now. He was picking second from the draft this season, and he went with Cody Rhodes, a nice strong pick early on. Julia Hart in round two, the Creed brothers, Orange Cassidy, Tegan Knox, and Brian Danielson. Dave, unlike his brother, I think this is a team.
Yeah, definitely. I think the Creed brothers has been a bit of a steal for him as well, given I think they're probably the most consistent tag team across all of WWE. They've had some excellent matches in NXT. They've won the tag team turmoil. They're going to be going up against Judgment Day for the tag team titles. They're going to get a lot of exposure going forward. And I only see them really losing big matches, like if it's a title match or not. I mean, you never know. They could just pick up the tag titles in a surprise win. So, and having Orange Cassidy as well, very. I don't get why we keep, you know, missing out Orange Cassidy until the second round of, or the second half of the selection process, because he's been actually racking up a lot of big points as of late. And I don't see any sign that he may be losing the international championship across this season. So I think he's had two big steals in the form of the Creed brothers and Orange Cassidy. Brian Danielson, though, I'm not entirely sure, given that, well, he is going to be on commentary, but I think he's still recovering from that orbital bone fracture. So I'm not sure his number of matches is going to equate to how much he's done in the last few seasons.
I mean, Jack, they've summarised the Creed Brothers quite well in that one. I think Julia Hart in round two is a very, very good get, because of all the titles on AEW that appears quite a lot, that TBS Championship is one that's defended very, very regularly. We saw that Chris Statlander the last couple of seasons, so I think that's good. I don't think Brian Danielson, no, I don't know if you, what you think of it, is as bad a pick as Dave said.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's his last year of full-time wrestling, so he's going to wrestle. And I think he wants to wrestle a lot before that point. So I think, obviously, he's in this Continental Classic.
Yeah, I think he's the favourite for the Continental Classic.
I think last round he's going to get a lot of valuable points that could help Scott at the very top end of the table again this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if he's not going to be, he's going to be everywhere around about that Continental Classic, I think they're going to use him as much around that as possible. Because obviously Tony Khan used him for the announcement in that one. So, and there's a lot of matches in this Continental Classic. So if you use him around about there, I think the second last pick of the full draft, I think it's a fantastic get.
Yep.
Cody Rhodes, another one. He might not win the Rumble, but he's gonna be featured prominent in the Rumble. So I think you got to have him in there, and he's gonna have this feud with Nakamura at the same time as well. So I think that's a very strong one on this one. I would say, and then Tegan Knox. I mean, I'm just raging. He picked Tegan Knox because, you know, Tegan Knox is the best. Me and Scott just have this permanent battle around Tegan Knox. I think I got her the last time she was drafted. He got her this time. I think outside of Gary, this is the strongest team. I don't know what you guys think.
Difficult to say. I think Cody Rhodes' points are definitely going to carry him most of the season, but he might... I'm not sure it's a winning team necessarily, but definitely a strong one.
I think it's a team that you see kind of the top half of the table. I think this would be a team that competes near the end, but it's a good team points wise and points getting. But in this season, in the Royal Rumble, does he have enough to change the tide on that final day? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think Scott's season could be decided a lot by what happens between that and the AEW side. Yeah. If there's a lot of defences for Julia and a lot of Orange Cassidy, I think he could be in with a shout. The last member of the draft, other than us four on SDL that we'll talk about, is Tom Brock, last season's runner-up. He's went with the team of MJF, Asuka, Eddie Kingston, Chris Statlander, the Golden Jets, and the Jack Graham favourite, Paul Heyman. Jack, I will swing to you on this one. MJF round one, big pick last season, essentially was the only thing that kept Callum from being competitive when he drafted last season. However, there is talk of him being injured, and of course he's had that title for a year, so there's another chance he could lose it. Do you think he's maybe went with the past successes in MJF rather than thinking what could happen in the booking side of things?
I think he's went with the past side. Obviously, see how well he did last season with 204 points. When, like, the season before that, he got 63. Then he couldn't get above 30 any other time he was picked. And that's just because he didn't wrestle much at all. This was just a complete out of the blue that he was going to win this Ring of Honor tag title with Adam Cole and defend his title, world title, so many times. Obviously, he does have this tag match with Samoa Joe on Wednesday against the Masked Figures. And then he has the world title match against Joe at World's End at the end of December. But it's just, it's all, I think, round one, I don't know. I think he's banked the ship has sailed on the potential gets of MGS points tally. He's not going to hit the heady heights before. Obviously, you're not going to hit the heady heights as last season, but in relative terms, that's not going to happen this season for him.
Yeah, I would agree on that one. Davey's other picks, though, he's got Eddie Kingston in there. I think we were confused about this one. I'm still a wee bit confused about the permutations of Eddie Kingston. All of Eddie Kingston's matches are for the title, but if he loses, does he lose the title? Who probably knows, but I think that's his logic for picking Eddie Kingston. Asuka, I think round two is a safe pick with the damage control stuff on SmackDown. I think she's going to get appearances in there. Golden Jets, he's banking on them winning the title. Will it be this season? I don't know. Statlander, I think, is another one like MJF. I think Tom's looked very much to past seasons, again with Heyman as well, to try and drive him, but I'm not quite sure he's going to have enough in the tank.
No, he's not going to hit the heights as he did last season. I think the only respectable picks I think he has here are Asuka, purely with the association of damage control. I just hope they don't eat as many losses this season, especially with Kairi Sane losing this past week on SmackDown. But Eddie Kingston, I can understand why he's went that route. You know, with the Continental Classic going on, he's got there's the confusion about, you know, defending the title and stuff, but we'll figure that out when it comes to the scoring. Golden Jets, I think he's banking on them winning the tag titles this season. But as you said, I think that's anticipation at this point. Chris Statlander, I think, had just lost TBS Championship. She might still get featured on Rampage and Collision, but as long as she picks up wins, you know, not too bad for our fourth round pick. But I still think he's went to AEW heavy this season in what is supposed to be like centered around the build to the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, so according to Wikipedia, Eddie Kingston will be defending his titles in all tournament matches. Yeah, he lost the first match to Brody King, and Brody King's not the champion.
Really? What a shambles.
I'm so fucking confused. I don't really want to talk about it, but yeah, I don't think this is a team of doing anything either. This is a Rumble season. You need to focus on the Rumble. The only one he's got with a chance of that is Asuka, and I think she'll have damage control shenanigans and she won't really do too much in the match, you know. It'll be all to help Bayley or something like that, probably. So I don't really see her. Unless they have these joint eliminations, then he might have a chance. But yeah, I'm not thinking. It's another one that screams mid-table team, really, to me, Tom, unfortunately, I'm going to have to say. As we do always here on the show, guys, we'll talk about all the SDL pick teams in the Warner, and we'll kind of evaluate it as we do here. We'll give the floor to each of the three of us to have a drill into our teams. We'll talk about Ryan first, because we'll mention Ryan's team first, because he's not here. He's got Damian Priest, Kairi Sane, Drew McIntyre, Ilya Dragunov, Nia Jax, and Angel Garza, and Roberto Carrillo as a team. Dave, you have Io Sky, Randy Orton, Lyra Valkyria, DIY, Claudio Castagnoli, and JD McDonough. Jack, you have Finn Balor, Jey Uso, Chelsea Green, JC Jane, The Family, and Samoa Joe. I did not say Chelsea Green as good as Samantha Irvin does, unfortunately. And myself, I did the Grant McRobbie approached and used a wheel randomizer to help me pick my team, as you can tell by this team. Bianca Belair, The Acclaimed, Ivar, Raquel Rodriguez, Adam Cole, and Darby Allin. Jack, I'll give you the floor first to discuss what you think about the other teams from the SDL.
Okay, for yours first, the wheels treated you kindly with Bianca Belair and The Acclaimed. Raquel Rodriguez as well, given the rumble. I think it's always a guarantee she'll get a good few eliminations in that, so I think that's fine. Ivar has been appearing in a singles push against Bronson Reed, but after that, I don't think much will happen. Adam Cole and Darby Allin, I think, is just unlucky, I would say. Obviously, Adam Cole might appear every so often, but Darby Allin's doing his Mount Everest expedition now, so he's
not climbing it till May. He's just doing the training.
So oh, is he?
He might do something, yeah. He's just doing his training now.
So he might, aye. So we'll wait and see, but I think the wheel could have treated you better, but I don't think you'll be down near that kind of bottom part of the table, so it'll be fine. Dave, Io Sky, I think is a fine pick. I don't know how well she'll do, but I guess you need to take a champion at that point. Randy Orton's always going to go round two, and I think with my round two pick, if I wasn't going to go for that person, I was going to take Randy Orton, so I was stuck between the two. So you know, I'd be either one of them, and I think Randy will do fine. Although it seems like he's only going against Roman Reigns, so he won't win that, but you know, he might get some wins against Jimmy and Solo Sikoa along the way. Lyra Valkyria, I think, is a good pick. I'm not sure about the bottom half of your team. All the DIYs in this sort of Imperium. Claudio Castagnoli, I know, is in the Continental Classic, but I don't know how well he'll do it. JD McDonough, he'll get his appearances just alongside Judgment Day, but aside from that, I'm not sure. I think mid-table for you. And then Ryan. Damian Priest also had to be taken round one, but I do see this as being the fall of Damian Priest from this point on, so I'm not sure, but Stein will be a great pick. Kairi Sane, Nia Jax, I think they're great picks where they've been taken in round two and round five, especially Royal Rumble in mind. Garza and Carrillo in the last round, I think, is a great pick, considering that the whole Santos Escobar and they're being rumoured to be in that kind of team in the feud going forward. Ilya Dragunov is, I don't think he's going to lose the title any soon, so I get him at round four is great. And Drew McIntyre, don't know what's happening with the contract. Might have, it depends if he's got a match at Royal Rumble for World Heavyweight title. I don't think it's a good pick. If he's in the Rumble match, I think it's a decent pick. But I think Ryan will be in that upper top half of the table.
Interesting thoughts there. Dave, what are you thinking about the other teams?
So, I think Ryan was right to bank on Damian Priest, pun intended, because, you know, there's every chance we could see a cash-in this season, especially if Drew interferes in the Rollins-Jey Uso match coming next week. So, there's definitely possibilities there. Kairi Sane, obviously, association with Damage Control. Great pick for round two, I think. I think Garza and Carrillo is quite smart for his tag team, anticipating the call-up for Santos Escobar. Likely could happen this season, so I think that's probably smart to save it for round six. I think the only potential weakness to see for Ryan is Nia Jax. You know, fairly inconsistent booking since coming back, so I'm not really sure what she's going to be doing, and I can imagine she's just going to be ganged up on in the Royal Rumble. Jack, on paper, I was a little bit meh with your pick with JC Jane, given her association with Chase Yu, but you've got the NXT Tag Champions of the Family. You've got Chelsea Green, one half of the Women's Tag Champions. You've got Finn Balor, one half of the Men's Tag Team Champions. And you've got Main Event Jey Uso, which I was really hoping to pick that boy up for this season. But, well, you've got a really good team on paper. And I think you're banking on a Samoa Joe win. So all in all, definitely, like, top half table for sure. Is it a winning team again? Not so sure. Stevie, the wheel's been good and bad to you. Like, Bianca Belair and The Acclaimed, based on past seasons alone, I think they're really good gets, especially with The Acclaimed defending the Trios titles every other week. Raquel Rodriguez as well, another solid second female pick. You know, she's consistent on the roster, could get a good Rumble appearance in as well. But Ivar, Adam Cole, Darby Allin, one's very rarely used, one's injured, and one's off training. I think you're at best, you're operating 60% capacity, if assuming Ivar gets a few more matches in there as a solo guy. So I think you could potentially be a bottom scorer here.
Interesting. Hold no offence to those remarks. Right, I'll go for my team. Ryan, I think it's a top three team. I think it's a fantastically done one. Damien Priest was my number one choice to get this season, just because of that money in the bag aspect to it there, the Judgment Day appearances. So, yeah, I think that's a no-brainer round one. Dragunov, title defence in the first pay-per-view of the season. You know, Corbin, you know, is every chance that'll be a good early points for Ryan. And obviously the two female picks with Rumble in mind are really top gets. I was surprised he went with Say in round two personally, but I definitely think this is a really, really good team. One of the best teams Ryan's picked in a number of seasons, definitely. Dave, if your team top half was absolutely solid, Io Sky, she's the pillar of that kind of, you know, feud with Damage Control. If Bayley does win the Rumble, Io Sky will definitely be keeping that till Mania. So I think in this season, that's absolutely solid. Randy Orton, at the time, I think we were talking about him being a free agent, but he's now officially signed for SmackDown. So might not get the same appearances you might have thought when you picked him, but at the same time, he's going to be all over SmackDown now. So he's a good solid hand on that one. Valkyria as well, as definitely deserves to be picked higher up the one because of the season she's got. Bottom half of it, not as convinced, but JD McDonagh round six will be a decent appearance getter. Claudio could go either way, and I do really respect the DIY pick, but will they get a lot of points? Not 100% sure. It's one that could flip either way, but I don't think you'll be in danger of being in the bottom half. I think that's fair to say. Jack, solid but underwhelming. I'll go with your team on that one. The family round five is not the worst get in the world, but will they have it long term? Will they do a lot of defences in this season? It remains to be seen. JC Jane, I get why you picked her, but I'm not 100% sure what she'll be wrestling much this particular season. Chelsea Green, I think she might eat to a lot of losses as well. But I could be flat in my face in terms of that one. I think the best pick you've got there is Samoa Joe. I could see him beating MJF at this pay-per-view. I just think all the things with MJF of him being injured, this devil story, he's still playing off this whole I'm going to jump to WWE in January thing. So if there's any time for him to lose the title, it'll be this pay-per-view. And obviously he's got Samoa Joe for that one. So I think in terms of round six to get Joe, given the position that Joe is in at AEW, I think it's a fantastic get. And again, I don't think you're going to be near the bottom, but I don't think it's going to be too much. If Samoa Joe wins that title, you have a shot. But if it doesn't, it will be mid-table, I think, for me personally. So that has been us going through all the teams here that were picked for season 19. We now have that point in this kickoff show where I will ask the team who they believe is going to come bottom, who's going to get the wooden spoon this particular season, who they think is going to be their dark horse contender, and who they think is going to get the big win this season. Dave, I'll start with you. Who's your three on the categories?
All right. I'll just do it in the order you announced it. So I think bottom, Ross. Honestly, like I said, that team is garbage. And I'll be surprised if he gets any respectable amount of points this season. The dark horse, I'm going to say Ryan. You know, I don't think any of us had a bad thing to say about Ryan. And yeah, I think that Priest cash-in might just come this season. And my prediction to win? Stacey.
Oh, interesting. See, Stacey wins it. I think that's going to be like, we will not hear the end of it from David Campbell for a really, really long time. Jack, what's your thoughts?
I think my last position, I think the person I think is going to come last is I think I'm going to say Ross, but I don't think Tom will be too far off him. I don't think there'll be any kind of a battle at the bottom there. I think my dark horse is going to be Gary, and I think my winner is going to be Stacey.
This is interesting. Two going for Stacey on that one. This is really, really intriguing. For myself, I think bottom of the table, I'm going to go with Tom. I don't think Tom's got enough in the back for this particular one. My dark horse, I'm going to go with Ryan. I'm going to agree with Dave. I think Ryan's got a lot in there that could have him a good push. At the same time, he could have stuff that maybe doesn't quite get him there, which is why I'm going as the dark horse. And my favourite for this season, I think I've said this far too many times, but I think he's got a good chance to do it this season. I'm going to go with Gary as my favourite for the season. I think Gary has so much potential for this particular season. I think it'd be daft not to pick him. But I respect both of you both for saying Stacey, as I think Stacey has a very good team, which makes it interesting. I think there's at least three or four top contenders up there for this particular season. Could we have someone who flies under the radar? We'll just have to wait and see. We're going to have to follow the next few weeks. This is our shortest season, obviously, goes to the Rumble, so we only have 2 months in this one, so it's not a case of we might have someone who creeps up from nowhere, does nothing the first half and does nothing. No, you need to get off the bag quickly, you need to start strong, and then if you don't start strong, you need to hope that you have plenty in the Rumble, as Dave did back in season 3, who came from nowhere and won it on Rumble night. Yes, Dave, I will get that mention in for you.
Thank you very much.
You briefly mentioned it with Charlotte. I'm surprised we didn't hear Nat Queen Cole mentioned when you talked about Charlotte's past Rumble win. But yeah,
that story's a legendary story now. That's all I'll say on that.
It should be left in the history books. That's all I'm going to say. If you have enjoyed the show today and you'd like to follow what's happening throughout the full of season 19, please hit that subscribe button. You can catch Saturday Draft Live every Saturday. Of course, we have the Listeners League as well, where you as listeners get a chance to compete in that league, which is done based on the pots that our guys used in terms of selection. If you want to compete in the Listeners League, you have until Monday night when Raw starts to get your teams in. Please get in contact with us on any of our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, X, Instagram. You know, we mentioned, you know, MySpace and LinkedIn on Monday. You can contact us on that. We will ask why you're contacting us on that. But please get in touch with us if you want to compete in the Listeners League this season. I'd like to thank my panel for joining me on this kickoff show. David Hockney, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
And Jack, thank you as well.
Yep, cheers, thank you.
Yep, I've been Steve Wilson, and from Saturday Draft Live, we'll see you next time. Have a good one.
Hello, I'm Scott McLeod here to let you know that the ESSR feature show for the month of December will be all about the career of the current WWE Women's World Champion and Judgment Day member, Rhea Ripley. Me and my panel will go through her entire career, her short but memorable career so far in this show, from humble beginnings at NXT UK to NXT to the main roster, and of course we'll be talking about Judgment Day and all about her relationship with the one and only Dirty Dom. Stay tuned for that on the ESSR Network, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.